welcome to the latest episode of Weichert's Propelling Talent podcast. In our last episode, we talked a lot about the coronavirus, the many ways it has been impacting our world in general and talent mobility in particular. In this episode, no surprise, we're talking about coronavirus still, where the last time we addressed some of the ways companies are approaching relocation in the wake of the virus. Today, we're taking it down to the personal level, folks who are actually being moved and the people who work directly with them. Obviously, when someone who owns a home is being relocated, there are a number of suppliers of relocation-related services who will have to physically visit the residents at various points in the process. Today, we're going to focus on appraisers. In the pre-virus world, it was pretty cut and dry. House needed appraising. The appraiser would come out to the house, in most cases in person, do his or her job. Today, in the midst of this crisis, which is hitting its highest points currently in the United States as we record this, we have to think of things differently. No close contact, no people within 6 feet or 20 yards, depending on who you ask. How is this impacting the art of appraising, and what should relocating employees and the companies that move them expect? And to address this issue, we have with us today as our guest, Joe Palumbo. Joe is the Vice President of Real Estate Services here at Weichert Workforce Mobility, and his credentials, we could basically do a whole episode on those. 32 years of experience as a realtor, as an appraiser, including serving in a regulatory capacity as President of the New Jersey State Board of Real Estate Appraisers, and in his current role here at Weichert, managing all aspects of home disposition for the past 13 years, including valuation, home inspection, and resale. Joe, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tim.
How are you seeing the coronavirus affecting the appraisal process right now?
Good question, Tim. It's one that comes up every day. Naturally, the appraisal or any analysis is only as good as the data and the information that one may have. And with the appraisal, it starts with the inspection of what we call a subject property, which is obviously an employee's home. And when we go out to gather relevant characteristics, the size, the quality, the condition, what amenities are there, incidentals, things like that, renovations that have taken place. Obviously, because they are physical in nature, we want to be able to observe them. And if that observation is not available, then the only way to get that information is doing what we're doing now, which has actually been done for many, many years. And that is to gather information for a reduced scope assignment, which entails tax records, any data sources that are online, expired or old sale listings on the property itself, virtual tours that realtors might post, and even old appraisals that appraisers might have been in the home a few years ago for a mortgage appraisal, and now they're being asked to do another service on that property. So what we have is we have to gather enough information for the appraiser to deem the results to be credible. And credible is defined as believable by reasonable people, and have the support and relevant logic that it needs to fill that credibility envelope. And there's a lot of subjectivity involved in the process without having that. And I'll use that condition being not being permitted to go inside. But there are, on the positive side, in 2020, there are a lot of ways to gather information about a property on the inside and out. It just comes with a level of risk that both parties, meaning the client and the practitioner, need to have an understanding about.
In a situation where, in many cases, again, I spoke at the beginning about, you know, everyone to keep distances, social distancing, all these things we speak of, not getting close to other people for an action, a process that typically involves someone going in and being amongst the folks who live in the home and making a personal visit to a home to appraise it. Under the current conditions, are there any alternatives that you're seeing being used or investigated for such instances where appraisers can't get into an employee's home?
Yep, absolutely, Tim. I think the advent of Skype, iPhones that are now taking great photos, and people's ability to use the technology, there's been a little bit of a void there, but I think that has now changed with pretty much everyone across all ages and streams of work experience and professions. So appraisers are using those tools, chat tools and tools that allow a virtual intrusion, if you will, along with the other tools that are available by internet, the web services and online sources and county tax records and third-party companies that have been around for many years that offer subscription services to have whatever is on the tax roll. And that can be challenging because in certain parts of the country, the tax rolls are very thin. And so the appraiser may be left with just information about the block and lot, the legal description, the size of the property, physical size of the land, I mean. And so then they would want to press that opportunity to have a Skype meeting or gather means from any other way they can, because the tax records are what we would consider to be deficient, I'll use as a word. But in other parts of the country, in California and Florida, and where there's a lot of tract housing and the assessing authorities are a little more ahead of the times than other areas, those tax records seem to be very robust and more reliable than they would be in some other areas. So those are the major means of gathering the relevant characteristics. If it's published, if it's online, if it's third party, if it's private, any way we can get it. And lastly, we had one the other day where the appraiser said, I'll be willing to look in the windows and do that. That's fine. But the appraisal standards board has been clear on the fact that unless you are actually in it, no matter what you do to say you were in it, you can only say you were in it if you were in it.
No one really is equipped with a crystal ball, unfortunately, where this virus is concerned. And, you know, as these challenges unspool, you know, we get news from all kinds of different sources. The fact is, a lot of us, for many of us, we've never encountered this before. It's something that we're just, in many cases, going to have to ride out. No one knows how it's going to end. However, just based on your experience, your lengthy experience in this industry, and what you're seeing now, what do you think will be the long-term impact of this virus on the appraisal process and how the process might look when we come out on the other side of this? Assuming at some point we do come out on the other side of this, how do you think things might change?
Yeah, I'm sure we will, Tim. I'm sure we will. I'm going to address real estate as a whole first, and then I'll address the appraisal piece. You're never pressed until you're pressed, right? So we're now pressed with, why don't we have virtual closings? Why can't we make it easier to close on a home or to have things arranged, title work done, and things like that? And I think the industry is going to come out of this and say, well, we did it when we had to. What was the risk involved? Did that risk impact us? And what can we do in the future or now? Because we'll be talking about in the future, looking back, what can we do to make that better and what worked? And I think that's going to be a byproduct of what we're seeing now. On the appraisal piece, I think it's the same type of thing. Unfortunately, an appraisal is not an appraisal is not an appraisal. And what I mean by that is an appraisal has to have a purpose, and the purpose is driven by its use. So a use of an appraisal for a bank to make a loan is based on a value, but it's a different formula to get to that value. And then the litmus test is different. In the relocation industry, we're very challenged with the fact that we have a very high benchmark for accuracy. And that benchmark is measuring the appraisal results against the actual sale price. There are a lot of things that can go wrong that are uncontrollable, that the appraiser cannot see. And so all of the things that we consider right now, the economy, supply and demand, negative attributes, local, regional economies, anything that impacts property now is affected by something that we've never had before. And so by doing reduced scope appraisals, we're trying to get through a time where we recognize there is risk. And when we have an opportunity to measure what that risk was down the road, we'll be able to figure out if there's a new flavor of ice cream in the relocation industry, meaning that a reduced scope appraisal would be appropriate. And just as the banks have loan to value ratio, which helps mitigate their risk, the relocation industry doesn't necessarily have that because they're buying the property in its entirety based on that. So I don't want to call it 100% risk because I wouldn't think it'd be completely accurate, but there is a higher risk in using the value to buy the property. So maybe in the future where you don't have a loss on sale opportunity for an employee, or there are ways to mitigate the risk of an inaccurate appraisal, because it's an appraisal based on the scope of work that was available to the appraiser at the time. no one wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to do my appraisal different way in the relocation industry, because that option doesn't exist for the users that use that tool. So I think that once we have a chance to digest what happens, what the outcome was, and compare that outcome and really look at it hard and say, for 2019, the appraisers were all within 3% of the sale price. And in the first quarter till when the pandemic ended, they were within 3.5%. Is that an acceptable risk tolerance for us as an industry, or do we not want to go down that road? So until we can identify what the risk is and be willing to own that and understand it, there'll be a lot of things on the table that will change the users of appraisal services and the client groups and the professionals and the practitioners just have to get together and agree on what the impacts of that will be.
One last question. When it comes to clients and home sale programs, home sale costs, home sale practices, what are some of the things you're seeing and recommending?
I think the one thing that's important is, and we've been getting questions from our clients, what should we do differently? And I'm not going to get into business decisions surrounding your program, but I'll answer, if you're going to move forward with your home sale program, it's best to stay the course of the Weikert best practices related to list price caps, getting home inspections and any ancillary inspections that you can possibly get, consulting with brokers to get brokers' opinions. These are universal solutions that work in Canada and the United States. Smooth seas never made a good sailor. But sailors don't abandon their basic practices when they're sailing a ship. They adjust them for the wind and the currents. And I think if we all stick to the basics and the block, tackle, and pass, if you will, it'll be easier to endure.
Thank you, Wilson. Very good information and obviously very timely. Thank you for keeping our clients informed as we continue into this crisis. And I share your optimism. I do believe we're gonna come out of this on the other side okay. If you have any questions for Joe, you can send them to us in care of solutions at WeichertWM.com. That's WeichertWM.com. Joe, thank you very much for your time and for your insight. To our listeners, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next episode. Stay safe.